Good evening. How's everybody? Can you hear me out there? All right. My wife was happy to hear I only had one page of notes, so we should do all right this evening. This message kind of got rolling, really, from Mr. Larry Batts. On a Sunday morning, we gather here, and during the Lord's Supper, he presented some verses that really struck me. So a lot of this message, or a lot of this teaching is just going to be really geared towards the Lord's Supper, but just in that I kind of took it step by step by step, and it got a little larger than what you should present at the Lord's Supper. So this is an opportunity to kind of bring some of that out. There was a gentleman on a motorcycle. He pulls up to the stoplight. I got to remember I got folks back here too. Pulls up to the stoplight, and he's on this big old Harley Davidson motorcycle, and he's all strapped down. He's got a leather jacket on, and it's loud and proud, and he's got the helmet and the bandana and the whole nine yards. And he's feeling good, right? Well, right up next to him pulls this old gentleman, about 85 years old. If any guy's ready, 85, I'm not trying to. So he pulls up on a little scooter, you know. And he's sitting right next to him. And he looks over at the gentleman. He says, That's a mighty fine motorcycle you have. Yes, sir, it is. Can I take a closer look? He says, well, sure, you can take a closer look. And he gets right up there and looks at it and rubs on a little bit. Man, that's nice. And the gentleman on the bike, the light turns green, says, I'm going to show this old man. He takes off, pulls a wheelie, and just runs it down the road, right? And he looks in his rearview mirror, and there's a little bitty dot way back there in the rearview mirror. And all of a sudden, it's getting bigger and bigger and bigger. And whoosh, right by him it goes. Whew, what was that? He's looking way out there, and it's way out there in front of him. And all of a sudden, it's coming back at him. Whoosh, right by him again. What in the world is going on? And the thing looks in his rearview mirror again, and there it is again, coming at him. So I got to pull over and find out what's going on. He pulls over, and he gets there. And the next thing you know, that thing's getting closer and closer. Hits him right in the back of the motorcycle. Just destroys the motorcycle. And this old man falls over on in front of his motorcycle, and he looks, that's that old man. And he looks down, he says, are you okay? Well, I think so, sonny. And he says, well, can I call an ambulance or 911? No, I think I'm all right. Well, can I do anything for you? Yeah, Can you unhook my suspenders from your handlebars? I only tell you that to tell you that as I went through this message and I started thinking about this, I thought to myself, who are we tied to? Who are we tied to as believers? The first verse I want to look at, we'll look at several. We're going to move through these. Psalms 102, 19 and 20. I have many of these typed up in my notes, and there are several of them. So if you can't keep up, I'm going to try and give you the verses ahead of time. Psalms 102, verse 19 and 20. And this first one is, look down. For he looked down from the heights of his sanctuary. From heaven the Lord viewed the earth to hear the groaning of a prisoner, to release those appointed to death. So the first thing he did from his heights was to look down at us. His creation, man, he looks down, and what does he see? He sees folks who have gone their own way, who've turned their back on him. But he also sees us imprisoned by sin, by Satan, by hell, doomed to go to hell. That's what he saw. The next verse, Mark chapter 1. So he looked down from heaven upon us here on earth, and he decided to do something about the fact that we are imprisoned. So he decided to come down. And immediately, coming up from the water, he saw the heavens parting and the Spirit descending upon him like a dove. Then a voice came from heaven, "You are my beloved Son in whom I am well pleased." You are my beloved Son in whom I am well pleased. God the Father looked down on His Son, and to set the scene just a little bit, this is the beginning of His ministry. He's approximately 30 years old. He has 3 years left, and His ministry begins with John baptizing Him. When He raised up out of the water, that's what was spoken. God the Father was pleased with His Son because He knew that His Son was going to be the perfect sacrifice, the perfect mediator, fully God, fully man, the perfect mediator between God and man. Isn't that wonderful news? First, He looked down on us and saw our position and did not say, "Well, they went away. Yep. What do we do?" He's God. God the Father, God the Son, God the Holy Spirit. And He sent His Son to come down to us. The next verse, John chapter 10. John chapter 10, 15 through 18, verses 15 through 18, John chapter 10. "As the Father knows me, even so I know the Father, and as I lay down my life for the sheep, and other sheep I have which are not of the fold, them also I must bring, and they will hear my voice, and they will be one flock and one shepherd. Therefore my Father loves me, because I lay down my life, that I may take it again. No one takes it from me, but I lay it down of myself. I have power to lay it down. I have power to take it again. This command I have received from my Father." He looked down, He came down, and He laid down His life for all of us. Once again, He didn't just sit up there and look down at a people who were imprisoned, a people who were doomed to hell. He said, "I'm sending my Son." So His Son came. And in His Son coming, He knew He would have to lay down His life for these people. Isn't it a wonderful thing? Once again, as I go through this, I just continue to kind of be in awe of the fact that it's God. This wasn't just a mere man. He couldn't be a mere man. He couldn't be the mediator. Had to be fully God and fully man. And He came and He died. He knew He had to lay down His life. Well, that's the downs. Let's talk about the ups. John chapter 3 and verse 14 and 15. Excuse me. John chapter 3, 14 and 15. These are familiar verses, so... "And as Moses lifted up the serpent in the wilderness, so must the Son of Man be lifted up, that whoever believes in Him should not perish but have everlasting life." There's that little word in there. "And Moses lifted up the serpent in the wilderness, even so must the Son of Man be lifted up." Now we can talk about the cross and the cruelty there and the fact that He was nailed to that cross and He was beaten and He was bloody. But we can also see here, He knew He had to do it. He must be lifted up. That sacrifice has to be made. So He looked down, He came down, He laid down, and now He's been lifted up. Romans chapter 6, verse 4. Romans chapter 6 and verse 4. "Therefore, we were buried with Him through baptism into death, that just as Christ was raised from the dead by the glory of the Father, even so we also should walk in the newness of life." So He had to go to the cross. He must die. And here's the good part. After death, His burial, what came next? His resurrection. He rose from the dead. He conquered sin, death, and hell. not for his own glorification, the glorification of the Father for sure, but for us, for you and I. Because we look all the way back at the beginning, he looked down and saw a people that were desperate, a people that were imprisoned, a people that had sinned against him. So he looked down, he came down, he laid down. He had to be lifted up on that cross. And now he's raised up also. Luke chapter 24. Luke chapter 24. Verses 50 and 51. And he led them out as far as Bethany, and he lifted up his hands and blessed them. Now it came to pass, while he blessed them, that he was parted from them and carried up to heaven. Carried up to heaven. He was lifted up, he was raised up, and now he's been carried up. A lot of folks that don't know the history really behind baseball, some of them look at it and go, I don't understand. You start in one place and you end in the same place. How does that make any, you know? What they forgot was that there was first base, second base, and third base in between there. See, he started in heaven. He looked down upon that situation, and now he's been carried back up, glorified by the Father. But he's accomplished so much. He accomplished your and my salvation. Amen? Your and my salvation. The creatures that sinned against him, the ones that were imprisoned when he looked down, the ones that were doomed to death, is said in Psalms, to death we were headed. It's a wonderful thing, this salvation, isn't it? I think about this whole thing, and I have to tell you, my wife and myself both have been going through a bit of a challenge, I guess, as our brother put it, what the challenge is today, was with this house in Alabama. And I think to myself, well, why has this not happened? We've had it for sale, and we put some money into it to make sure that it's ready, and all of these things, and you know, that doubting Thomas in me comes out. Well, what did I do wrong? Lord, wow, what are we doing here? But I always have to remember, that house is just that house. God came and died for me. We are tied to a God that loves us, cares for us, gave his son for us, gave his own life for us. He didn't have to do any of that, did he? He could have just left us in our state, wandering, imprisoned by our own sin, but he didn't. He cares for us so much. It's a wonderful thing. So I think about these things, and I have to tell you, I had a little twinge today, as a matter of fact. Way back in the day, I joined the Army. My parents were not home. I called them on the phone, and I got my mother, and I said, Mom, I finally done something. She said, what'd you do? And they're thinking, another accident, another whatever. I joined the Army. Oh, that wasn't a good thing to say. She was not happy about that. She turned the phone, and she said, Wayne, that's my dad, Wayne, you get on the phone with this young man. He has done something really stupid, and you must get him out of it. That's exactly what she said. My dad gets on the phone, and he says, well, what'd you do? What now? And I said, well, I joined the Army. Well, okay. I guess we'll see you when you get back. That was it. That's all he gave me. He was quite happy that I had joined the Army. I was the youngest of five children, and I was the last one to leave the nest. And today I got a little twinge, and I thought to myself, later on my mother was very thankful that I joined the military, and you know, things turned out well, obviously, but There were many times along the way, and I'm kind of glad she wasn't here for my stint in Iraq. That would have driven her crazy as a mother, obviously. And we went through a little bit of that with my son, and I realized that, wow, now I know what my parents kind of went through, a little bit of that. Stationed in Germany, guarding the border between us and Czechoslovakia. This way back when the Cold War was going on and so forth. But, you know, my parents, you know, I never really thought about that. But my son now has gone to Iraq. And today on the news, there was a training accident at the 101st Airborne Division. Four soldiers got hurt, maybe killed, in a Black Hawk accident. Well, guess what my son does? He works on Black Hawk helicopters. I'm on the phone call. You okay? You know, he's okay. There's nothing wrong, I'm pretty sure. But it just, you know, I thought about how much my parents went through with me, and I thought how much I go through with my son, and I think how much more God went through with us. I would gladly lay my life down for my son. I would. I might think twice about it, but I would. I'd come to that conclusion eventually that I would do that. But God really did come and give his life for a creation, for his creatures. It's beyond me sometimes when I think about that. When I think about God coming in human form, being subjected to man, his own creation, being beaten, nailed to the cross, dying for our sins, not his own, the torment that he went through for me and for you. It is an amazing thing beyond my comprehension sometimes. In closing, got a minute or two left here. In closing, I'd like to read this stanza from a familiar song. It's number 338, At Calvary. Oh, the love that drew salvation's plan. Oh, the grace that brought it down to man. Oh, the mighty gulf that God did span at Calvary. Mercy there was great, and grace was free. Pardon there was multiplied to me. There my burdened soul found liberty at Calvary. Lord, as we come before you this evening, we are in awe of what you have done for us. We are amazed at the sacrifice made. We will never know truly what was given for us. We can read about it. We can think about it. But we'll never really know. You are God, and you came here to die for us. Thank you, Lord, for that. And you're worthy, in your precious name, amen.